Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Bridget Bergen, senior politics reporter in the WNYC and Gothamist newsroom, filling in for Brian, who's off today. And now we turn to the start of state budget negotiations in Albany. Governor Hochul laid out her proposals in a speech yesterday that added some fiscal details to her state of the state ideas. She said her plan was about achieving the New York dream. Now she and the legislature will negotiate up until and possibly past the April 1st deadline over revenue, expenses, and even some policy items that might seem out of place in a budget, like bail reform and charter school caps. To talk more about her proposals in the next 2 months of negotiations, I'm joined by my colleague at WNYC and Gothamist, Albany reporter John Campbell. And to shed more light on how the city will feel about the effects of the state budget, we're joined by Katie Honan, reporter at the news site The City and co-host of the FAQ NYC podcast. Katie, John, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thanks for having me, Bridget.
Hi, Bridget.
And if you listened to the governor's speech or have heard about her proposals and want to share your reactions, ask your questions, give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And here's a little bit of how Governor Hochul set up her own presentation.
Our $227 billion budget will include unprecedented investments in areas that will make a positive impact in people's lives, that'll make the New York dream real. And as I said, make it safer, more affordable, more livable. So let's dive into the specifics.
All right, John, let's dive into the specifics. You picked five key points in your write-up of the budget presentation, so we're going to start with those. First up, the governor did propose money for the city in dealing with the influx of migrants from the southern border, something we were just talking to Congressman Goldman about. How much of that burden is the state willing to take on?
Well, basically, the state says it's willing to take on about a third of those costs. And much of that is in the form of taking on a 29% share of shelter costs and emergency services costs. So the city has opened up all these shelters to deal with these tens of thousands of asylum seekers that have come into New York City since the springtime, according to the mayor's office. And the state is saying, yeah, we'll pick up 29% of that, similar to what we pick up for other quote unquote regular shelter costs. So that is a big deal. It's about $1.1 billion that the state is committing to spend on the asylum seeking crisis in New York City. And the bulk of that is for shelter costs. There's also things for, say, having the National Guard assist. That has already been happening, but they would continue that, and they're counting that in the $1.1 billion. And there's also $6 million for that Brooklyn Cruise Terminal facility that you did just talk to Congressman Goldman about. So that's a big deal for the mayor, who has been pushing for funding for a long time now. But there's other stuff in this budget that he's certainly not going to like, such as the MTA funding.
Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit. But Katie, let's talk for a minute about City Hall's reaction to that funding to deal with the migrant crisis. This was a big priority for the mayor. He's been talking about it all week. Obviously, a lot happening even overnight with an encampment being cleared outside one of the hotels being used for sheltering some of these migrants. What kind of reaction was there from City Hall about this number from Albany?
That was one aspect of the governor's budget proposal that the mayor enjoyed, you know, and John alluded to it, that there was some issue with the MTA funding. But that has been the biggest issue in the last few weeks for Mayor Adams, as the number of migrants has increased. And as we saw last night, you know, the people who were in the encampment, they were staying at the Watson Hotel in Midtown. They did not want to go to the cruise terminal in Red Hook. And the encampment was cleared yesterday. But the mayor has said for months, we need more support from the state. We need more support from the feds. And that comes from in the form of money, you know, in order to pay for whatever kind of housing, right? Whether it is in a hotel or it is in this tent facility that has been criticized, they need the money for it.
As you have both mentioned, the MTA funding was another big takeaway from her speech yesterday. John, she called it the lifeblood and did propose additional funding to help with the fact that ridership has plummeted during the lockdown and is still below pre-pandemic levels. She's offering some dedicated funding sources.
Yeah, so mixed with some kind of one-shot infusions of cash from the state. There's a lot here. I mean, basically, she's proposing like kind of a fundamental shift in how the MTA is funded. Jana Lieber, the CEO of the MTA, he said this is a shift away from the fare box. So the state would put in $300 million in kind of a one-shot investment, but they would also raise what's known as the MTA payroll tax. And that is a tax on businesses in the MTA region, not just New York City, but Long Island and all the way up to Dutchess County in the Hudson Valley there. And they pay a certain amount of their payroll for the top revenue businesses. It's about 0.34% that the governor wants to increase that to 0.5%. And that would create another $800 million for the MTA. That is going to be very controversial, particularly in the suburbs who have hated that MTA payroll tax ever since it was first put in the late aughts. But the controversial part here is the state under Hochul's plan would essentially require New York City to put up $500 million a year to the MTA. And that is something that Mayor Adams doesn't like, particularly, you know, he's getting some money for, say, asylum seekers, but then he'd have to pay $500 million for the MTA. And he put out a statement yesterday making clear that he has some pretty serious concerns about that.
Yeah, Katie, I mean, that's a big bill for the city for MTA funding, $500 million plus a potential fare hike. But you were reporting sort of on this thread as far back as November. Can you talk a little bit about sort of how you saw this coming?
Yeah, and thank you, Bridget. I mean, that was with my colleague Jose Martinez, who's much smarter about transit issues than I am. He's our transit reporter, but he had been reporting that obviously the MTA is in a fiscal crisis. Pre-COVID, about half of its revenue came from fares, and that has declined since during COVID, obviously, and then as we've kind of continued to work our way out of it. I was down in the Somos conference in Puerto Rico, and Jana Lieber was there for the first time, really to make this push to state and city legislators that the MTA needed help. The MTA, they'd like to be funded the way to be seen as a more essential service where they're actually getting more money, whether it's from the state or the city. So some of that would come from the payroll tax, even the casino revenue. Whenever we see additional casinos built and where there'll be, some of that will go towards that. And in Mayor Adams's criticism of this proposal, he pointed out in his statement that the city annually contributes approximately $2 billion to the MTA in direct and in-kind contributions. That was a quote from the statement they released. Mm-hmm. And the reality, too, is the city is not doing as well financially as it also climbs out of the COVID pandemic. So these are a lot of issues as to who's going to pay for this continued problem. And look, you could say that even before COVID, the MTA had financial challenges that needed to be met as well. But the issue is you need to get more people back on trains and commuter rails and buses and cutting service and even increasing fares. I don't know if that will do it.
John, we're going to go back to your items. The third item on your list was her proposal to extend a corporate tax that was due to expire, a sort of compromise with the progressives in the legislature who want to make it permanent. Is that a fair read of it?
Yeah, there was a lot of question here about whether Governor Hochul would extend that tax. And basically, that was at the height of the COVID pandemic under then Governor Cuomo and the state legislature. They put in a higher tax on corporations that essentially have more than $5 million a year in revenue. So wealthy corporations. And the idea was it would, you know, create more revenue for the state that they could then plug this budget hole or spend on this or that. And that was set to expire at the end of this year. It is set to expire at the end of this year. Hochul, as part of her budget, she wants to extend that for another 3 years. That's something that could bring in somewhere between $800 million and about $1.1 billion a year. That's what her budget office estimates. So that's a pretty big chunk of change. It also, you know, signals to the, I mean, it is essentially on some level a concession to the progressives. You're starting to hear conservatives, though. They say, well, listen, we're ending this year with a projected almost $9 billion surplus. So why do we have to extend this tax? They're also complaining about that MTA payroll tax increase that we just said as well. So, you know, the governor said, you know, no, she doesn't intend to increase taxes, no new taxes in this budget. But there is some of that in this budget, quite frankly.
John, next on your list, of course, is increasing school funding by 10%. That's a big increase, and in such a way that underserved schools will see the most of it.
Yeah, and that's what's known as the Foundation Aid Program. And this is, right. It goes back to, you know, there have been lawsuits about inequities in school funding and a sound basic education in New York. And Governor Hochul agreed to settle the most recent iteration of that. And part of that is fully funding this foundation aid program, which it's a formula that essentially favors lower funded schools or the less wealthy schools in less wealthy areas. And that will be fully funded. It's about $35 billion total in education aid. That is something that education advocates have been pushing for a long, long time. That said, she also wants to change the cap on the regional cap on charter schools. And the effect of that would be New York City would be able to add somewhere between 85 and 100 new charter schools. In theory, that is something that public school advocates can't stand. The teachers union isn't going to like, and a lot of progressives in the legislature are not going to like. So that is going to be a battle.
Katie, any reaction at a city hall on this conversation about raising the charter school cap? Katie? Okay. We're going to move on there. Actually, we were just coming up onto a short break. We're going to have more on Governor Hochul's budget proposal in just a moment. Stay tuned. It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Bridget Bergen from the WNYC and Gothamist Newsroom. We have a few more minutes with my colleague, Albany reporter John Campbell, and hopefully Katie Honan from the city. We had a little technical difficulty, so we're trying to reconnect her. I want to talk to her about charter schools caps if we get her back. But John, let's pivot for a moment to your final point, which was on the housing development plan. Governor Hochul announced a plan in her State of the State to increase the number of housing units by 800,000 units. And in this budget, did she give us any indication about how she would get there?
Yeah, she put more meat on the bone, essentially. And really, the heart of her plan is setting housing targets for each municipality in New York State. And if you're quote-unquote downstate, you've got to create 3%, add 3% of housing units over a three-year span. If you're upstate, it's 1%, where the need for housing is less. But essentially, if these cities, towns, villages don't meet that mark, under Hochul's plan, the state would be able to step in and approve multifamily housing units on its own, you know, over local objection. And that is going to be a huge deal in the New York City suburbs. You're already starting to see a lot of criticism, particularly from Republican officials in those areas. But some Democrats are wary in those areas, too, as my colleague David Brand and I had reported last week. And it's one of two areas where really she's going to face a lot of suburban pushback. The other is that MTA payroll tax that we addressed earlier. And it's an area of the state where she did not, particularly on Long Island, she did not perform particularly well in the 2022 election. She was asked about that yesterday, and she said, well, I'm trying to do what's best for the state. I'm not driven by politics. But it's really a situation to watch. And it's one that, you know, suburban officials have proved their might in the past, and they're going to try to do it again.
John, in terms of how she would actually you know, get developers to build some of this new housing. She isn't offering any new tax breaks necessarily, but there's kind of a gaming of the existing 421A tax break that is being, it seems, extended. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So basically, she wants to extend the deadline for projects that would qualify under 421A. 421A is a controversial tax break that provides tax incentives to builders who build housing in New York City with a certain amount of affordable units, below market rate units. And it expired last year. It is something that Democrats in the legislature, particularly those who lean more to the left, they view it as just a giveaway to builders, while builders say, well, we need some sort of incentive to create affordable housing, below market rate housing. So it's this kind of stalemate. She wants to come up with a replacement for 421A. There has not been much of an appetite. So she's kind of got this end around that you're saying that you mentioned here that would kind of extend the deadline for projects to qualify. And it's going to be a tough sell in the legislature, I think. But in the budget, there's a lot of give and take. There's a lot of I'll trade you this for that. And you know, she holds the ultimate cards here because she can force the budget to go late if she wants, and which she did last year. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see her do it again this year.
I want to play another short clip of Governor Hochul talking about her plan. This was from her speech yesterday related to how she views her plan.
It's a thoughtful plan that furthers our progressive values and our priorities as New Yorkers, but also ensures fiscal responsibility.
John, the Democrats have supermajorities in both chambers. She's not necessarily going to be doing a lot of negotiating with Republicans. It's really moderates versus progressives. How did this proposal land with the legislators you've heard from so far?
There's a lot of, well, we got to see the details. Well, wait and see. I mean, there's a lot of that going on. And some of that is legitimate because it is, you know, the budget is really a series of 10 different really lengthy bills of thousands of pages. And, you know, we're going to be going through these bills for weeks. So there's some of that that is legit. You know, I think that in general, Democrats liked her commitment to housing. They know they have to do something about the MTA. So maybe they would quibble with how she's doing it, but they do like that she showed some sort of commitment to making sure that can be, as she called it, the lifeblood of the region. But this comes at a time where her relationship with the legislature, particularly the Senate, is at something of a low point. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, the Senate Judiciary Committee rejected her pick for Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals, Hector LaSalle. That's something that's never happened before since the current system for picking judges was put into place. So, I mean, that was a blow to Kathy Hochul, delivered by her fellow Democrats in the Senate, and now they have to negotiate the budget. If you talk to legislative leaders, if you talk to Kathy Hochul, they all say, well, we're fine, you know, we're fine. But that stalemate over the judge is still going on now, and Kathy Hochul wants the full Senate to vote on it. So obviously it's going to play some role here in how state government works, but how much that of a distraction that becomes remains to be seen.
So I want to rewind our conversation a little bit. Katie Honan, you there?
I'm back. Yeah. Huzzah. Can you hear me?
Woohoo. You're great. All right. So the question I did ask for you right when we lost your line, we're finishing up our conversation about education aid specifically this issue of lifting the charter cap within the city. Do we have any initial reaction out of City Hall, how people responded to that idea?
Not from City Hall just yet. I know there's a state meeting of the City Council today, and I know for sure it will come up to ask Speaker Adrian Adams. But there was a reaction from New York City-based state lawmakers, particularly Senators John Liu and Robert Jackson. John Liu from Queens and Robert Jackson from Manhattan. They are opposed to this. They said it could add, you know, up to 100 new charter schools, which would financially strain the Department of Education. And obviously, the UFT is opposed to this lifting this charter cap. That's always been that tension for decades now. Of, you know, why should the U of T and other city lawmakers and people who support the U of T, they say, why should we have to provide space in public school buildings for private charter schools? I'm sorry, not private schools, but for charter schools in that way that they are. So that is the issue. John Liu himself said it was a non-starter. So we'll see what happens. And obviously, these are the people that Governor Hochul will have to negotiate the budget with. And we'll see what Mayor Adams and especially the city council members today will have to say about it.
It's February 2nd, so we're going to be talking about the 30th anniversary of the movie Groundhog Day at the end of the show. And the governor's proposal to revisit bail reform kind of feels like a good fit for that conversation. Didn't they reform the reforms last year, John?
Well, first of all, shout out to my mother, Diane, a proud Punxsutawney native.
Wow.
So Groundhog Day is a big deal in the Campbell household. So I'll say that first. But
happy,
yes,
Groundhog Day.
Since these bail reforms were put into in 2019 by Governor Cuomo, then and the Democratic legislature, and essentially it removed the possibility of cash bail for most misdemeanor and nonviolent felonies. They've made two rounds of changes since then, one under Governor Cuomo, one under Governor Hochul. And now Governor Hochul wants to make a third round of changes. This one is going to be controversial. She essentially wants to give judges more discretion to set bail in violent felony cases and you know, violent crime cases, essentially. So it's going to be a tough sell in the legislature because they do not want any aspect of judicial bias to be in the process. They say that historically, bias affects people of color, black and brown people who come before the court system in disproportionate numbers. So what the governor wants to do is remove what's known as the quote-unquote least restrictive standard, which essentially says that the judges have to impose the least restrictive means to ensure somebody comes back to court, because that's what the purpose of bail is, to ensure that people come back to court. She wants to make very, very clear in the law that that judges can consider gun crimes, that they can consider a history of, say, juvenile crimes, things like that, when they are choosing whether to assign bail. That's going to be a very tough sell with the progressive left in the legislature.
And just really quickly, John, I mean, this is a policy that we are talking about. This is not necessarily a fiscal question. So why is bail reform being talked about in the budget anyway? Just remind us of why that happens.
Essentially, because the Constitution and state law allows the governor to do so. And that has been something that's been challenged in court over the years. But it is, the governor can shove as much policy as he or she wants into the budget proposal. It gives the governor more leeway, strength in their negotiating position with the Senate and Assembly. And really, the budget, it is a spending plan. It is $227 billion of spending, but it also serves as one of two major points during the year where the state legislature passes all sorts of policy, and the other coming at the end of the legislative session in June. So that's New York, baby. That's policy proposals get jammed into the budget, and it can be tough for some lawmakers to vote no on a particular budget bill because there's, say, 100 different proposals in it. And if they're voting something down that they don't like, they also would be voting down something that they probably do like that's tucked into that bill. So it's that's how it happens in Albany. Mm.
Katie, we've heard Mayor Adams talk about wanting to see these laws change. This has been a big push of his. Presumably, he was happy to hear this included in her budget address. Katie, are you there?
I'm here.
Did you hear my question?
Yes, I heard your question and I was trying to answer it. So this is good news for the mayor, who, since he was running for mayor in 2021, has been critical of these bail reforms. He's pointed to that as the reason why there are issues with crime in the city and why some categories in the city's crime have gone up. So I know obviously there's a long process in order to reform some of these things. But for him, you know, this has been, he certainly has a different view of crime and the approach to crime than the previous mayor. And we'll see what happens in the state legislature to actually, if some of those changes will actually happen.
So, John, before we let you go, tell me what you're going to be watching as we head towards the April 1st deadline. It feels like, you know, this is definitely the very beginning of the long negotiation process. You know, any big surprises that you're sort of looking out for?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be watching out for a lot of things. We talked about the MTA proposal in particular and whether the city actually will end up having to put up $500 million. But more than that, I'm just looking to see, I'm looking at relationships here. I'm looking at if the governor and the Senate can come together and negotiate a budget at a time where they're not particularly happy with each other. And you know, is this the beginning of a rift, or is this something that they can get over? Because if there is a rift, that has a big impact on state government, governance, I should say. So that's really what I'm going to be looking for going forward. And hey, the deadline's April 1st, so we'll know within the next couple months here.
And Katie, of course, the mayor, you know, will have to head up to Albany soon and press his case to lawmakers there. That can always be sort of a weird day in Albany. What do you expect the dynamics to be? How different do you feel like we've seen the relationship between Mayor Adams and certainly Governor Hochul, but also state legislators as compared to the previous administration?
Yeah, Mayor Adams is a former state legislator himself. He has pointed to that as sort of, I understand these people and I understand this body, but when he went up last year, it did not go as well for him as he had hoped. He has at least on the outside, a good relationship with Governor Hochul. But as for some of the state legislators who, you know, especially the more progressive members, they have not been as aligned with the mayor, and they have, and these are people based in New York City, and they have been critical of a lot of what he's proposed. And we'll see in the next few weeks when he goes up there with his budget team and with his senior team about what he wants and what he expects. And looking forward to it, I'm kind of looking to see, especially with the migrants and especially with the MTA, these are two of the major issues in New York City, what from Governor Hochul's budget will actually happen from what she's proposed and how involved Mayor Adams will be in as well. I think that was another criticism from last year. They said he hadn't even really gone up to Albany or spoken to some of the state lawmakers before going up there, and they were a little miffed about that.
So a lot to watch between now and April 1st. I am sure we will be talking to both of you again. My thanks to my colleague, John Campbell, from the WNYC and Gothamist Newsroom, our Albany reporter, and Katie Honan, a reporter for the news site The City and co-host of the FAQ NYC podcast. Thanks so much to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry for the text.